This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're very happy to have on the program again today Senator Strom Thurmond, Democrat from South Carolina. Senator Thurmond, last week we were discussing the two most important issues before Congress during this current session, and you mentioned the two as first, the civil rights proposals, and second, overturning the recent Supreme Court prayer decisions. Last week, we devoted most of our discussion to the prayer decisions and the necessity to restoring God to America's daily life. And this week, I'd like to get into the civil rights proposal, if we can.
Well, I'm glad to be with you, Dick, and I'll be pleased to discuss those with you.
Senator, what are your special points of concern on this proposed civil rights legislation?
Well, Dick, this so-called civil rights bill is a power grab. It's not a civil rights bill. Everybody believes in civil rights, true civil rights, but not the kind of civil rights that the Congress has had presented to it here in recent years and over which there's so much agitation. Now, for instance, this bill that's before us now has a number of parts that I might discuss with you a little bit.
All right.
First is a section about voting. And there's a provision that provides that temporary registrars can be appointed by the federal government to register people. This means your local voter registration would go out of the window. They'd lose their powers under the state laws. The federal government would take that over. I can foresee a great danger here because if you had an attorney general who was so minded to do so, why, he could appoint someone that would register a lot of people here who are not qualified, allow them to vote, and those additional votes might be enough to turn an election. And then later it might be, when it's carefully scrutinized, found out that they were really not entitled to vote. Yet your election is over, and it's very difficult sometimes to upset an election. And so I think that's a very dangerous provision. It gives the federal government more power to control the elections, because this not only gives them the power to register people, but it gives them the power to see that the votes are cast and the votes are counted, which means they're going to be right there controlling that election. Now, another provision under the voting is been suggested that a person with a sixth grade education is presumed to have enough literacy to vote. Well, most people with a sixth grade education do have enough literacy to vote, probably, if they have other qualifications. But that's not the law. That's not the Constitution. The Constitution of the United States says that any person can vote in a federal election who is qualified to vote for the most numerous branch of the state legislature. That means your House of Representatives. So the Constitution of the United States fixes that qualification and makes it the same qualification as one voting for the House of Representatives in a state. Now, when we come along and Congress attempts to pass a law, or should pass a law, and say that anyone who has a sixth grade education can vote, that's a direct violation of the Constitution of the United States. It runs right in the face of the Constitution. And so I really don't think that the Congress should attempt to do this. For years and years, the Congress attempted to repeal the poll tax as a prerequisite to voting, but they never were able to do so. Finally, a constitutional amendment was submitted, and that was the proper way to go about it. Although I oppose it, if it were to be done, that was the proper way to do it. And if they're going to make a sixth grade education the requirement for voting and the qualification for voting, the proper way would be to submit a constitutional amendment. Now, another provision in this civil rights bill is about education. This bill would allow the Attorney General of the United States, upon the petition of any student or any parent, or even on his own initiative, to bring a suit against any school board or college board to bring about desegregation. Or if the Attorney General feels that in his judgment desegregation can be furthered by bringing such a suit. Now, to my mind, this is entirely too much power for any one man, especially some attorney generals. Now, it's my feeling that the government should not be a litigant. The government should not participate on one side or the other. The government should be neutral. And if a person wants to bring a suit, he has a right to do it. But I don't think the Attorney General of the United States should take the part of any one litigant. I think each man ought to have to bring his own suit. But why should the government have to be the lawyer for any one litigant to bring about desegregation or in other matters?
Senator Thurmond, I'd like to interrupt at this point to ask you this question. Many people around the country have been led to believe through years of past discussion that anything with a civil rights label on it, such as the measures now being considered, will apply primarily to the South. And so they feel, why should people in other parts of the country be concerned about them? Do you feel that this is actually the case, or will this proposed legislation, if it should become law, have an effect elsewhere in the country?
Well, Dick, I don't think there's any doubt about that these civil rights proposals are aimed at the South. But these so-called civil rights proposals are going to apply everywhere. They're going to affect every citizen in this nation. And if we have time today, I'll go ahead a little further and explain some of the ways in which it will affect them. Now, under this field of education, it's suggested here that aid be given to schools that desegregate, that they be given technical or financial aid. Now, this is simply a bribe to a school district to desegregate. I think people of the South and the people of other sections have enough principle about them not to take a little money to change their principles if they feel that another way of life is better.
Of course, in some of the northern cities, this aid could be buying buses to help carry students across town to attend different schools, couldn't it?
That's right. In other words, to haul the children from one section of the city to another. And incidentally, this is causing a lot of repercussions in the North, because I've talked to a great many people and they are bitterly opposing this. And I believe sooner or later that the politicians who are trying to force this on the people are going to regret that they're doing this.
Senator Thurmond, probably every American has directly or indirectly some financial relationship with his federal government today. The vast majority of working people are covered by Social Security programs, for example. The veterans have their own special programs. Farmers and businessmen are involved with federal agencies in many respects. If you're buying a house, the chances are that the federal government is involved. In fact, if you have money in a bank, the chances are that the bank is federally insured. Now, would these civil rights proposals go so far as to affect all of these various federal aid programs?
I was just coming to that point, and you're absolutely right. In other words, there's one provision here that would deny federal aid to any state, any school district, any political subdivision, or any individual, even, within a state. You take a veteran who served his country in time of war and maybe lost both legs, completely disabled. Well, if there's so-called discrimination there, the federal government under these bills would have the power to hold a hammer over the head of that state and say that no veteran in that state can draw any aid for disability who fought for his country in time of war. It would permit the federal government to hold a hammer over the head of every citizen who has retired on Social Security and say no one can draw any Social Security retirement. It would hold a hammer over the head of every bank and every institution that does business with the government in any way, shape, or form. And of course, that means that banks that have federal deposit insurance, and just about all of them do now, savings and loan associations which are insured by an agency of the federal government, and every depositor of those banks, where there's any discrimination of any kind, would be affected by this bill. Houses and federal insured housing, whether it's veteran housing or FHA or whatnot, they would all be affected. It simply means that practically every citizen would be affected by this so-called civil rights bill.
And a group of bureaucrats would be the ones who would determine whether in their mind there was so-called discrimination. If they accused you of practicing discrimination, you would be put to a great deal of time and effort and expense in preparing your defense.
That's right. Bureaucrats in Washington would make the decision. It's not left down at the state level. And as you say, if they charge you with it, they could force you in court and put you to the expense of a lawsuit and cause you a lot of waste of time and trouble and expense. Now, another provision is the so-called public accommodations. They should call that invasion of private rights, because the Constitution provides that no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Well, in my judgment, when you tell a man that he has to serve somebody on his own private property, if he doesn't want to, that's an invasion of his private rights. For instance, if you walk down the street and pass three barbershops and go into the fourth, you're making a choice. Why shouldn't that barber be allowed to make a choice, too, of who he wants to serve? And simply because they have a license from the city to do business, there's no reason in the world to say that that man, that he's got to sell to somebody or serve somebody, he doesn't want to. And incidentally, Congress passed a law like this in 1875, a law that's almost identical with the law now being proposed. And in 1883, Dick, this law was tested in the Supreme Court of the United States, and they declared it unconstitutional, void, and invalid. And the present Supreme Court is bound by that decision, unless they don't follow stare decisis, that is, follow the previous decisions. Now, of course, this present Supreme Court, you can't tell what they'll do, and they may not follow those old decisions. But the point is, a law similar to this has already been construed as being unconstitutional. And Senator, I think it's going to set a terrible precedent when people who own private property are going to have that property so regulated and so controlled that a man can't use that property in the way that he desires to.
Senator Thurman, I'm sorry to have to break in, but our time has gone by all too quickly. Thank you very much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Incidentally, if you would like some literature describing the civil rights bill currently being considered, write to the address given at the end of this program and just say that you'd like to have some literature on the civil rights bill. We'll be happy to see that you get it. Join us again next week at the same time, and we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.